by Connie Castile. And Patrice Melnick is winning one of the Public Humanities Programming Awards for her fabulous work in Grand Coteau and the surrounding area for the outreach that she does. Connie Castile, of course, is here at UL Lafayette, Assistant Director of the Center for the Moving Image Arts Program here at the university, as well as an instructor in English and film. And Patrice, located in Grand Coteau, is a writer and has Casa Azul with her husband, and also just has created a number of series of programs that have really reached out to the community, not only in St. Landry Parish, but to all of us who love literature in particular. A number of years ago, you founded the Festival of Words, which is continuing and has grown each year. So I think people can see just from those descriptions why the LEH would want to give you all these awards. That award ceremony will be on April 6th. It will be at Homus House Plantation, and people can buy tickets for it if you would like to celebrate and honor Connie Castile and Patrice Melnick. I believe you can get tickets by calling the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities or going to their website. So I know that the LEH, Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities, they're very interested in the humanities in a very broad sense, really anything that furthers education, the arts, literature. It's a very broad net that they cast, and they're particularly keen to acknowledge people who reach large populations in our community. So that says also a lot about what you all do. It's not very esoteric. You all are working in areas that you're hoping will touch a lot of people from many different walks of life. So let's start off maybe talking about Patrice's work in Grand Coteau. You have actually shown Connie's film over there. You have a series, hesitate to call it a reading series, because you show films, you have music. It's kind of a wonderful all-purpose arts series that you have in Grand Coteau. First of all, describe the community there that you live in.
The Grand Coteau community?
Area. I guess there needs to be another word for it, isn't there? It's like South St. Landry Parish.
The region. It's rural. Mm-hmm. It's really a mix of people. Let's see. I'm trying to decide how to characterize people in the area. It's a friendly community. There's a lot of people involved in agriculture and ranching and things like that. And then there's people who commute, university professors, too, who use it and they commute to the university. And so you have really a variety of people. But it's an old – Grand Coteau in particular is an old community. And so people have been there for many generations, and that's – actually really fascinating to me. And the town itself is known for the religious institutions, the Academy of the Sacred Heart is there and St. Charles College. But the broader community, a lot of large, really well-connected families. It's very family-oriented.
Mm-hmm. And then there are those people like yourself who were attracted to the area because of the beauty. You had been teaching in New Orleans, working in creative writing, director of creative writing in New Orleans. But you were drawn to that area. And there are people like yourself who just love the beauty and love the spirit of the place.
I do. I mean, people give you a chance, really, essentially. If you enter the community and you interact with people, they're open to you. And like I said, because it's such an old community, I guess that was fascinating to me to hear people's stories. And it is just really beautiful. There's a lot of greenery, a lot of open green spaces where you can walk. And I think that's healthy for a community to have that.
Mm-hmm. People describe it as feeling very spiritual there.
Yes.
Yeah. Something about the place. So considering all these diverse populations who live there, how did you start to envision public programming, something that would attract people, that would engage them with literature? How did you start conceiving of the programs that you have there?
I kind of started small. Because I started Casa Azul Gifts, and we'd only filled up half of our store, so the back half was empty, and it made sense to find a way to draw people in by using that backspace. And really the only thing I knew how to do is do an open mic. And I had a background in that kind of work and programming. So I just started an open mic, and I think we might have had 5 people come the first time. I'm not sure. And I passed out poems because the people who came had never seen an open mic before. So we just took turns reading poems to each other. But then it sort of caught on to people who had been to open mics, and it started to grow. And I guess when really more and more established authors started showing up to give readings there. And so that's, I guess that inspired my vision, like, wow, if these people are willing to come if they think this is cool, maybe we should get some more. It took a jump when Gwen Richard from the ACA came by, and she was seeking out new people to apply for the DAF grant, and she strongly encouraged me to apply. And so then that caused me to plan a little more carefully and think more, sort of help my vision. And we received a DAF grant, to which we're grateful. And that really gave us a boost. And then more people started joining in, and that helped, you know, it was sort of our vision, really. Other people had ideas on how to build it.
Right. And it's really become very well established now. I mean, those grants allowed you to create a more formal continuity. Right. And so they're quite regular, these readings now at Casa Azul.
Yes, they are. They're once or twice a month.
Well, describe some of the people that you've had come in because you've gotten these grants.
Cornelius Eady came a few years ago. That was really wonderful. Julie Kane came last year, the Poet Laureate of Louisiana. Of course, Daryl Bork, who is like Mr. President forever. He's Mr. Poet Laureate for us forever, and he's involved, and he's on the board of directors, and his connection has really helped us. This year, Naomi Shihab Nye is coming in November. I'm really excited about that. So those are some examples.
And you continue also, in addition to these names that you're mentioning, you continue to really focus on encouraging writing and encouraging participation from a diverse set of groups in South St. Landry Parish.
Actually, we love that people who love literature come, but actually part of our target audience are people who don't think they like literature or who have never been to a reading in their lives. And I kind of enjoy that challenge. It's hard.
You're evangelizing.
I guess so. So we started doing oral history and coupling that with the poetry, and that's been very successful. That we'll have a Grand Coteau native talk about their memories of growing up in the area, and this is filmed and documented at the Center for Louisiana Studies through that department. We're really grateful in the archives of Cajun and Creole folklore. And what we do is we pair it with poetry. So once a month at the beginning of the month, we'll have a local person talk about their memories, and then the second half of the evening is a poetry reading. And what I learned, though, is people in the area, they love poetry. It's just not, it's not in their habit to go to readings, but they enjoy it. And then the people who've come for poetry, they love stories, and so it's created a nice cross audience. And then we also do a group poem, which is a litany where the first part of the poem is started for you, and it's passed around the room, and at the end of the evening, someone reads our poem. And in that way, even people who came just to watch, they've added one line to that poem, and so they've participated, even if it's in a small way, and it kind of helps us bond and think of us, all of us, as writers.
Well, I think people are beginning to understand your gift for creating public programming, and one of the many reasons why you've been awarded this grant. Now, in addition to these programs that you're describing, you started Festival of Words, which really brings in all of those elements that you've been describing as well. Tell us about Festival of Words.
Festival of Words takes place once a year in November, and we write grants to help support it. And some of the authors are from Louisiana, some are from outside Louisiana, and we have a variety. We have well accomplished authors. We have some that are in the earlier stages of their careers. We have spoken word artists participate. We have, and we try to also hire a fair number of teaching artists to go into the community to teach in the public schools, because that's really our best effort is to interact with the youth and get them writing as well. We also do, there's performance poetry. Actually, we do something called drive-by poetry, where youth memorize poems and adults memorize poems by the featured authors, and then they perform them in grocery stores and bakeries and barber shops, and then they actually get to perform for the author who wrote the poem. And that's really a wonderful event. And to memorize a poem is really to internalize it, to get to know it in a way like nothing else. You know, it really becomes part of you. And that's been really effective and it's fresh. And that kind of thing might happen in San Francisco or New York, but it's more unusual in a small community.
Of 1,200 people. Yes.
Yeah.
Your passion is evident in everything that you've described, all of the different series, the reading series, the oral history series, Festival of Words. And in addition, I believe your husband, Olin, has also started a kind of a film series.
Yes, he has. Olin Thibodeau started a film series, and he focuses on small independent films. And if the filmmaker is local, often they come and they answer questions at the end of the film. And that adds another level of depth and makes the evening even more memorable. And if the director of the film is outside of the area, is in New York or Australia, then we do a Skype interview. He hooks it up and they're on the screen and we can ask questions back and forth. And that's really fascinating too. And as you might know, Connie Castile has brought each of her films to our program, which we're grateful for, and has come and answered questions. And when she brought Tigalo, it was packed. There were 75 people. They were all over the floors. They were standing in the back, and we had to offer a second showing because there wasn't enough room for everyone. And it was quite a diverse audience. It really reached people, and that actually helped expand our email list because there were people we'd never met before. And So that's really fantastic.
If you have just tuned in, my guests are Patrice Melnick and Connie Castile. Both are being awarded very special awards by the LEH, the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities, on April 6th, their annual Humanist of the Year awards. Patrice is getting one of the Public Humanities Programming Awards, and Connie's film Tigalo has won the Humanities Documentary Film of the Year. Well, Connie, give us your perspective of what goes on in Grand Coteau with the public programming that Patrice has created. You've obviously experienced it. You've shared there. How would you describe it for anyone who hasn't participated?
I think what I like about Casa Azul and having that back room, I love the chairs, by the way. If you ever get rid of the chairs, give me a call. But it's so comfortable and the diverse. So people from diverse backgrounds feel very comfortable going there and sharing in this experience. And like she said, for Tigalo, there were a lot of people there and just of all walks of life. And it was very special. I mean, the film does have a diverse demographic in it, I suppose. So I'm so excited when these demographics come together and kind of share in celebrating their culture. And I think Casa Azul provides just a comfortable open space for that.
Mm-hmm. And she's been working at that for a long time and really has the reputation of giving that ease and comfort to a variety of people. They feel quite comfortable going there. But it is lovely and intimate, and so it's amazing when there's a large group in there.
Yeah, and the popcorn is good.
Special Grand Coteau popcorn.
Yes.
So which films of yours have been shown there?
I think we showed them all, I believe. So
maybe name them for our audience members.
I always do My Colors First, Raised on Rice and Gravy, King Crawfish, and Tigalo.
Tigalo. Mm-hmm. Now, Tigalo also won the Louisiana Feature Film Prize last year at the 2012 New Orleans Film Festival.
Yes.
How was that experience?
It was a surprise. And what that award is what they do is they put all the Louisiana feature films together, whether they're documentary or narrative, and then they pick one out of that. So that was, I liked that. and I have to say, I mean, you know, you don't make a film by yourself. So it's a reflection on the creative team that I work with. Of course, Allison Bowl, Brian Richard, Misty Talley, Christy Guillory, music supervisor, and all the wonderful musicians that she pulls together. And then just, I guess, thanking, too, the background of the folklore studies that I was lucky to get at UL through the English department. So, of course, Marcia Godet, John Loden, and Charles Richard, too, have helped shape what comes out of this team, I guess.
So quite a team, and really reflects that breadth of humanities that the LEH is really trying to encourage in the state.
Yeah, I think so, especially in Tigalo, because of the diverse group of people in there. You know, we have the Creole culture, the Black Cowboy, the Cajun, horseback traditions all coming together in one place. And most fun I've had with this film is bringing it back to all these little communities where we filmed and, having them there. They're in the film. They get to sit down with their family and friends and watch themselves being celebrated on the big screen. So that's fun to do.
Now, this film was also supported by the LEH, I believe.
It was.
You had gotten a grant
Partially funded by that and by Louisiana Filmmaker Award that the state started about a year and a half ago.
Again, so great collaboration and effort on the part of arts organizations in the state. They're so crucial for these films and products and public programming that you all do.
Absolutely.
Really make it possible.
And we don't realize it. You know, when you hear of arts getting cut, maybe some people think, well, of course, we don't need art. But when you see what it really does fund, and it is in a dire situation right now in the state of Louisiana, so I encourage people to voice their opinion about that.
And it's interesting that it both preserves and invigorates, you know, that it brings part of the past but keeps it alive and encourages new growth in areas that maybe had not been before. Did you find that when you showed your film Tigalo in these smaller communities, what did it do? Did it? What was the response from people in addition to just nostalgia?
Well, nostalgia was a big part, especially, you know, because of the bush tracks that are no longer here. So you get a lot of stories of retelling of their childhood and what their experiences. But pride, just pride that, you know, it was a subject that was passionate to them and that was important enough to get put on film. You know?
Right. And I would think, too, you know, sometimes we're quite isolated in our own communities and we know our own traditions and our own special ways of doing things, a particular bush track or a particular jockey. But seeing a film like yours that makes people realize what they're a part of, that
larger traditions. Mm-hmm. When I was filming at the Country Mardi Gras, the people there, once they found out I was from Breaux Bridge, they just assumed, may y'all do that over there? And it's like, no, we don't. You know, this is very special to your region. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up with country Mardi Gras.
Yeah. Well, when did you, going back to Tigalo, when did you first experience horses? What gave you a passion for the subject?
Right. I'm not a rider, as in riding the horse. And what attracted me to it is simply the phenomenon. You know, you'd always see black cowboys on Sundays riding their horses through town in Breaux Bridge or in, you know, Cecilia area. And then you just start seeing all these horseback traditions. And then it just started asking the question to myself, why? Why do we have – where does all this come from? And it crosses – you know, Creoles do it, Cajuns do it. So what is that about? Mm-hmm. And then as the film begins historically – we kind of can blame the cattle industry for that. So
yeah, it's kind of the same story all across the country, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think you could argue that the first American cowboy, no matter how you define it, was here, and they were black and French and Indian. Mm-hmm. So I don't claim that in the film because that's too big of a claim to have to prove. But
I think it could hold.
Yeah.
And I believe you had some great music that accompanied
Yes. In fact, we showed the film Monday night in New Orleans at the racetrack at the fairgrounds. And one of the questions after the screening was whether or not the music was on a CD, the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we can thank Christy Guillory. She's the music supervisor on that film and on King Crawfish. And she did an incredible job with the musicians she pulled together and the compositions. So,
Well, I guess it's an interesting subject to me, too, that how one work of art will inspire creativity in another realm. And, Patrice, have you ever noticed that when you show a film or you have a particular program, that it inspires writing about that subject? I wonder if there have been many people writing either poetry or stories about horse culture in South Louisiana. Have you noticed that at all?
I mean, I've come across, you know, poems about horse culture for sure, and those people may have well seen the film or they're part of the horse culture, but definitely everything, you know, for writers, anything you see or observe or take in is, you know, is likely to influence what you write.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That would just be an interesting thing to follow, you mm-hmm. know, how those one art form influences another.
Oh, yeah, and vice versa. You know, when I go to make a film, I know for the ironing film, I did a lot of research, and I actually toyed with the idea of bringing in a exhibit of various media, and I came across a lot of poems about ironing, a lot of stand-up acts. So one man from South America, he was living in the U.S., and he missed his grandmother, and they would speak on the phone, and one of her laments was, "I'm so sorry I'm not there to iron your shirts for you." And when he found out she had passed on, he did a stand-up for 1 hour ironing clothes on the stage and telling stories about his grandmother. So,
yeah. It did inspire that.
Yeah. So,
well, maybe you could have some kind of program in Grand Coteau on just reading about horses, an open mic about horses.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Maybe we will.
And, you know, I know, Connie, we've talked about that book before, the Marshland Brace that Chris Segura mm-hmm, wrote, mm-hmm. and there's a lovely story, kind of a novella called Les Perdus, and there's a lot about horse riding, and they're the cattle farmers, and there's some amazing, amazing
yes.
scenes.
You did tell me about it, and then recently Ashley Michaud gave me the book. Mm-hmm. I think she
Science
got it from
book.
You. Yeah, she said you have to read this. Yeah. So I'm excited. It's on my nightstand. So.
But because it's always interested me, what parts of our culture are not expressed in literature, are not represented in literature or stories. Mm-hmm. You know, some parts that are very, very common to us but just don't find their way yet into literature or other art
yeah,
forms.
Or in film. And I mm-hmm. think that's – we tend to focus on the obvious, but like ironing, I mean, who would have thought it had all of that significance, mm-hmm. you know, and layers mm-hmm. of meaning. So.
That's right, and very unique ways of describing it in this area, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very different than other areas. So you all are doing great cross-pollination, and I'm sure that's one of the things that the LEH is recognizing and giving you all
Thank you.
These awards. Again, if you have just tuned in, my guests, Patrice Melnick and Connie Castile, are receiving awards, Humanities Awards, from the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities. It's their annual Humanist of the Year Awards ceremony. Connie will be receiving the Humanities Documentary Film of the Year for Tigalo, A Louisiana Horse Story, and Patrice is winning one of the Public Humanities Programming Awards for all of the great work that she's done in Grand Coteau with Festival of Words and the reading series, and just encouraging people to participate who may not have experienced literature before.
Thank you.
And they now have. Mm-hmm. So the award ceremony is open to the public. You can purchase tickets, and if you would like to honor them and honor the other people who are winning these great awards, it's April 6th at Homa's House Plantation, and I believe information and tickets are available by calling the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities. Mm-hmm. Of course, if you go to their website, Facebook page, they have information about the awards, including Connie and Patrice. So, Connie, do you have some projects that you're working on now?
Or? Yes. Yeah. Charles Richard is directing a new documentary on Cajun boat building. So I'm helping him with that, and it's a lot of fun. So and another, you know, we keep hearing about Cajun boat building, and we know all this, but to actually have it documented and filmed. And what's kind of interesting is that the boat builders build from memory and imagination and no mm. blueprints, and I think that makes it extra special.
Mm. And one thing you do so well in your films, which also was noted by the LEH, is that wonderful connection between old footage and old mm-hmm. photographs and contemporary images that you
right.
bring together.
Mixing the archival with the current footage.
All right, beautifully edited together.
Thanks.
So we'll look forward to that, having you
yeah.
on as that gets closer. And Patrice, I know you're looking forward to Festival of Words, which is in the fall. But what do you have going on this month at Casa Azul?
Let's see. At the end of the month,
or
actually,
April?
I brought my notes. let's see. We're kind of wrapping up March, although there's a book signing with Charles Jolivet on the 30th on Saturday. And then let's see what else. There's a Grand Coteau Voices program on April 4th. That's a Thursday. And they're going to talk about the black businesses in Grand Coteau up until the 1950s. And I'm trying to remember who's featured. And then with that, well, there'll be a poet. The poet is Gennaro Keeley Smith, and he's lives in Ruston right now. He's a wonderful poet, just fascinating. And I think that's going to be a special evening. But also something coming up on Saturday, April the 13th, there's a film called Ferlinghetti, A Birth of Wonder. That's a film about the beat poet Ferlinghetti and the founder of City Lights Bookstore and kind of a rabble-rouser, revolutionary and really affected poetry. This is a documentary. It's also a fundraiser for the Festival of Words, and that takes place at Cité des Arts, not at Casa Azul.
Who knows what effect this film will have on literature?
That's right.
Sort of Ferlinghettiized. And is there a place where people can go to find out more about what you all are programming?
Yes, festivalofwords.org.
All right. You can look at that, bookmark that, and I think you have a Facebook presence as well.
I do.
Yes.
There's a Festival of Words page.
All right. And Connie, do you have a Facebook presence for your films?
Actually, for this new film, the boat building film, it has a website and it's on Facebook, and it's called In the Mind of the Maker. So you could look there, and I do have a website under my name.
Okay.
If you want to.
You can look that up.
Yeah.
But with the Facebook page, with the boat building, you kind of post what's
right.
going on.
Right. So you can kind of follow the making of the film. There's really three different audiences, people just interested in Louisiana, South Louisiana culture or creativity or boats.
Right. Well, we can all look up those resources and find out more about what these very creative people are doing in their fields and in the larger Louisiana Humanities organization. Congratulations to you both for winning these awards.
Thank you. Very great honor.
That's the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities, their annual Humanities Awards that will take place April 6th, 12:30 p.m. at Homa's House Plantation. Again, you can get tickets through the LEH online or call their offices. Connie Castile, Patrice Melnick, thank you all for coming by.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.